Thank you for joining us for another episode of the LifeCast. This week, we will be featuring Senior Pastor Randy Williamson sharing a message entitled God in a Box. Trust you'll enjoy the podcast.
Some of the thoughts that I'm going to share with you this morning from God's Word. Some of you may recollect some of these things I'm going to share with you, because a few of these things I've shared with some of you before, maybe in my earliest days here. Just felt to do this, maybe expound on it a little more. Many of you are newer since my earliest days here. If you're real new, I've been here 2 years and, I don't know, 13 days or something like that. Just over 2 years. What are you smiling at? Smirking at Sandler. What's that? Seems like longer. Yeah. Appreciate that. Typical deacon. But I love it. Just over 2 years. I've been here, and my family, it will be 2 years sometime in June or July. They had to finish school. We moved. So I commuted for a while and lived at the Best Western. Thank God those days are behind. But, I'm just going to pause for a second. How many of you in this room, you are attempting to sell a house? Why don't you stand up? I want you to bow your head all over this room. Father, you know our plans, you know our desires. And Lord, you are greater than the economy and the market. I ask that you would release these homes according to your will to be sold. Father, in the name of Jesus, release them from this burden. Give them wisdom. Work on their behalf. Bring a buyer. Lord, you know the situation. You know their desire of why they want to sell their home. Father, I ask that you would work on their behalf. You would give them faith, you would give them courage, and you would give them peace. Release these homes, Father. Oh, Jesus, speak to them and give them understanding and revelation. In your name. In your name, Jesus. In your name we pray and believe. Amen. You're selling your home, trying to sell a home too? I didn't see you stand up right away. Bolsteads, you're trying to sell your home also? You're thinking about it. God give you wisdom. May lead you. May the Lord sell your place. How you doing, sweetie? You look great. Did I miss? Was there anybody else trying to sell their home? Who else? Dan, you're trying to sell your place. Rachel, you're trying to sell your place. Did you guys stand up? You did. I missed it. Who else is trying to sell your place? Did you guys stand up? I'm sorry, I missed it. You know what? Let's have everybody stand. This is what we're going to do. Not that all of you are going to sell your house. I don't know. I was just getting ready to preach, and I just felt to do this morning. Rachel, Dan, Stephen, you and your home. I want everybody to bow their head in this place, and I want you to just say, Lord, would you just please sell the homes for these people? Or would you do it? Go ahead, everybody, just begin to pray. Oh, Jesus, honor and bless, Lord. Bring favor, Jesus. Release these homes. Bring your blessing. Oh, Father. Oh, Lord, we just ask you to release these homes. Bring a buyer, Father. Oh, Dan, Carol, Jesus. You know their plans and desires. You know how they want to serve you, work for you. Would you help them now by selling this home? Lord, release this home from Rachel. Open new doors for her. Open new doors for her. Father, we give you thanks that we can come to you and that these things that affect our life are important to you. Lord, they're not too small. They're not too little. And Lord, this is not too difficult for you. You have turned the tide of economies through people, in people's lives throughout generations. Lord, you are not hindered by that. Oh, you are our provider. We look to you. We look to you and we ask you today for this. In Jesus' name. Everybody agrees, says? Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated. Yeah. You're right. God bless the Lord. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about how we get a sense sometimes because of what we have seen God do or what we have experienced in our own life, what we read in the scripture. And sometimes we think because we've been a Christian for a long time that you know, guarantees us that we know more. And it doesn't. And somehow, you know, a little bit of our humanity kicks in. And sorry, I'm pausing for a minute. I haven't lost my thought. Darren, I'm going to pray for you this morning at communion. I want God to heal your back. Sometimes in our humanity, James, is your cholesterol getting any better? Your health? As long as I'm on all that medicine. We're going to pray for you this morning at communion. I need the Lord to touch you. Sometimes in our humanity, we think that we got this God thing figured out, and we've been around Christianity long enough, or we perceive some things, and we just take it as truth. And so we start to run with our faith in God between these parameters. And I'm going to talk to us a little bit about that this morning. You may remember some of these thoughts that I share with you, but I just feel like we need to be reminded. Some of you might be hearing this for the first time, and that's okay. If you look into the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel, he was a prophet for God. God called him and anointed him to be a prophet. And morning, Doug and Bonnie. Nice to see you too. He was a prophet. God has called him and anointed to be a prophet and bring a message to God's people. Now, understand that in this context, on this occasion, which was many occasions, God was sending the prophet to bring a message from God, and that God's people the terms were used like rebellious, or they were not listening to God, or they could hear him, but they weren't obeying, or they just weren't hearing him at all. And so prophets were used in a very unique way, but the point is that they were bringing a message. And we can look back into the Old Testament, and we will read that and go, wow, isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? Oh, God cared so much for his people and he wasn't going to give up on them easily. And so he would send these messages and they would be many times very demonstrative. You know, in our culture right here, we tend to like messages that are not demonstrative. Just kind of tell me and don't do anything that's embarrassing. Right? Because we're a sophisticated, educated, and all-knowing people. That's tongue-in-cheek, if you didn't get that. So Ezekiel in chapter 4, God speaks to Ezekiel, and he says, Ezekiel, this is what I want you to do. He says, Ezekiel, this is what I want you to do. Who yelled Zane? This is Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I'm going to send you to my people. You can't see what he's doing. You see that? We're buddies. I'm sending you to my people, and I want you to do something. I want you to lay on your side for 390 days. One day for every year that the house of Israel sinned. That's what he asked them to do. Okay, so get up here. And I want you to lay on your side, your left side. And we'll see you in just over a year. <laughs> 390 days. One day for every year. You liking this, son? Because you could be next. We'll lay you out. I'm kidding. One day for every year that the house of Israel sinned. Now, those days go by, and the prophet gets up. Would you like to go sit down? Would you really? Because God's not really done with the whole deal yet. Because then he says to Ezekiel, now that those 390 days are up, I would like you to go and lay on your right side for 40 days. Oh, just over a month, no big deal. Lay on your right side. Did you know that you could still face us and lay on your right side? Second thought, you can, no. For 40 days, one day for every year that the house of Judah sinned. And the 40 days go by. I mean, people know about this. People see this. People hear about it. Hey, you know, the prophet, he's laying on his side, you know. You know, lay 390 days. Yeah, you know those preachers, lazy, laying around. You know better. 40 days pass, and he gets up. Thank you, Zane, for helping me out. You're afraid to move, aren't you? You don't want to turn the wrong kid, dude. You did great. Give Zane a hand, would you? Now, I don't know about you, but that's weird to me. I mean, I'm not insulting God here or anything, but I just think that's a little out there. I mean, if you were to come in to the church this morning and you saw, you know, one of our deacons, you walked in and he's laying on his side over here, you know, you walk in and Bob Frisky, you're sitting in a different spot, Bob. Hey, nice haircut. Looks nice. You put a little gel in it or something? Woo! You look good. Yeah. You come in, and Bob's up here laying on his side. Service starts, worship team's working their way around him, everything's in place, and we start, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to start going, hey, what's with Bob? His eyes are open, and I can see he's breathing. Well, what's with Bob? Ooh, before you know it, there's this huge empty area around his wife, Carol, because nobody wants to sit by her, although everyone wants to go to her and say, you know, I've prayed for you for years because I've known Bob, but this is a little outlandish. What in the world's with Bob? Then somebody found out that Bob's up there laying on his side for so many days because of, you know, the whatever reason, the sins of new life over the years or whatever. And you go, he's weird. I mean, I've heard him teach before, and boy, you know, it was really good, but man, he's really kind of gone off the deep end. I mean, that's just the Let me ask you this question. In the book of Ezekiel, do you believe that Ezekiel heard from God on what he was supposed to do? One yes, a couple of nods, one nod, two nods, the rest of you are going, are you setting me up? I'm just asking you a simple question. Do you think in the book of Ezekiel that God heard, or Ezekiel heard from God on what to do? Yes. You don't really have a hard time believing that, do you? Because you're reading about it in history. But yet, if God were to do something like that today, we go, that's the weird church. What's wrong with Pastor? Get that guy off of there. I brought a friend today. I brought a guest. We got first-time visitors here, and there's a guy laying on the platform. And everyone's acting like it's okay. Except the... Next chapter, God says, Ezekiel, I want you to grab your sword. I'll let you sit on this one, Zane. I'll let you sit this one out. I won't embarrass you too much. He calls Ezekiel and he says, Ezekiel, I want you to take your sword and I want you to use it like a barber's shears, like a razor. And I want you to take this sword and I want you to shave your head with it. We're getting into the weird again. We're getting into the different. We're getting into the thing that's outside my parameters, outside of my box. Ezekiel obeys, shaves his head, and then get this. He gets out a scale, and he's weighing it. Weighing his hair because he's supposed to divide his hair up now that he took as a razor off of his head. Balding. I mean, can you imagine if, you know, you walked in and Josh Abbott was, well, that wouldn't make sense. Ooh, he wears his hair short. Yo, brother. You walk in and there's a table up on the platform and here's, you know, one of our deacons again. There he is, sitting behind the table, and he's bald, and he wasn't last week, and now he's up there with a scale wearing, weighing his hair in thirds. Except for a little bit, he's supposed to tuck in his belt. That was what Ezekiel was supposed to do. Divide it up in thirds, take a little bit, tuck it in, under your belt, and then take the first third and go into Jerusalem that has been sieged now and take a third of that and throw it in the fire in the city that has been sieged and fire that burns. Take a third and throw it in there. Then take your second third and walk around the city chopping it. What would you have thought this morning when you came into the parking lot and you're walking up to the front doors and you see this deacon walking around, chopping his hair around the church? I know. You think that we've got trucks and white jackets for that. We got padded rooms for that stuff. Call those people. Because we got somebody for them. That's what we think. The last third, he was just supposed to throw into the wind. That's out there a little bit. He did all of it to bring a message to God's people. If we read about that in Ezekiel, how many of you, by the upraised hands, would say, you know, Ezekiel heard from God. He did what God called him to do, and he heard from God. Raise your hand if you believe that. Now, if I asked you to show hands of the deacon who was walking around chopping his hair outside or weighing it by a scale, if I were to say, hey, do you think they heard from God? And I ask you to show your hands, you'd go, I don't know. You would ask me, I'd say, yee. I mean, I know these guys and I trust them, but that's out there. You know, do I do the nice pastoral thing and say, hey, God bless you. I really know you heard from God. Could you go do this in a private place? God called people and used people according to his will and his design. And, of course, the people have a choice to believe and to do. I'm not suggesting to you that God is calling you to do the same things that Ezekiel did. But what about when God speaks to us and asks us to do something that is maybe outside our box? You know, because our box consists of, if, you know, God asks me to read his word and pray a little bit and, you know, throw a couple bucks in the offering and be nice. That fits in my box of Christianity. And we can read things in the Bible, in Old Testament and New, and we can go, wow, is that cool? And they heard from God, look what God did. And yet, if some of that were to show up today, what is our response when it's outside of our box? Outside of our parameters. Get trouble. Some of you say, well, that's no big deal. My box is bigger than that. You know, my box is, you know, hey, my box is bigger. It's, you know, I believe that, you know, Jesus died for my sins and you know, I know that he was empowered by the Spirit and yet, you know, the outpouring of God's Spirit was just for that time. It's not really for today. And yet, at the end of my prayers, I say, in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and I believe in Jesus, and, you know, I do good things, but, you know, though I pray in the Holy Spirit, you know, that outpouring was just kind of back then. So my Christianity is very explainable, very normal, and I don't look any different than anybody else. And that's kind of Christianity to me. That's where my faith is. And when other things happen in a demonstrative way in God's Spirit, that's outside my box. That's not really God. And yet, we believe that Ezekiel heard from God. And there's others who have boxes, and they say, "Well, I'm just kind of about the deep things in God. You know, just give me the Bible study, and just give me." Help me understand the book of Revelations, and, you know, just the deep things of God, and, you know, I just like that, and I like to go to the classes, and I like to go to the studies, and I like to get online and do all the deep study of God, and yet, you know, that whole going to the altar thing, or praying for one another, or, you know, Holy Spirit being outpoured, or divine healing, and that kind of stuff, well, you know, I know it's in the Scripture, and I've studied it, and yeah, I guess I believe that's what God's about, though I don't know about all that kind of stuff happening today. Then I know that we're in an AG church, and we're Pentecostal. So, you know, our box is, we feel like our box is bigger than everybody else's. You know, we believe in, you know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, people speaking in tongues. We believe in divine healing. We anoint people with oil. you know, we talk about revival and, you know, we're Pentecostal. We pretty much have the big box. You know, we understand God and how he moves and all this kind of stuff. Yet, what if God does something outside of what you've experienced? Or maybe what you've seen before. Oh, it doesn't violate God's word. It's just different. And though we're Pentecostal, we see it and go, yeah, I don't know about that. You know, we're supposed to test all things. We fall back right away on the defensive as if we've got it all figured out and what we're comfortable with and what we're not comfortable with. We're going to make a mistake. It doesn't mean we don't test things. It doesn't mean that anything goes. That's not what we're saying. But if we're not careful about the move of God and the way God shows up, that takes us outside of our box and yet does not violate God's word, we're going to miss it. Let me put it to you this way. God's people through time, his people, Hebrew descent, Jewish people, in history, prior to Christ, they were looking and calling and crying out for a Messiah. They were calling out for a Messiah. God, send the Messiah. God, send the Messiah. We're oppressed. God, send the Messiah. Oh, send the Christ. There was a point in history that God sent the Messiah. But when he showed up, he came differently than what God's people expected or what God's people thought he should look like and how he should act. And, you know, that he's supposed to be some great political leader. And Jesus was not a political leader. And so they looked at Jesus and dismissed him. And Jesus is the Messiah. And he came and he left. And do you understand that there are people in this world still calling out and crying out for the Messiah to come? They missed him because he was outside of their box, outside of their thinking, outside of their expectation, outside of what they thought was best and how God should really move, because God, of course, takes my counsel. We do that all the time. We think, yeah, that is a tragedy that the Savior came, they missed him, and he left, and they're still looking for him. And we think, oh, that's a tragedy, and it is. But the same principle is in effect for you and I, because we pray things like this. Oh, God, would you come and would you show up and would you do miracles and would you move on people's lives and would you come and demonstrate your power and would you come with signs and wonders, as long as I can explain them. You know, don't do anything outside of my understanding or explanation. God has come at moments in history and time since Christ, and he's come with the move of his Spirit, and he's answered people's prayers. And you know what? It showed up a little different than some people thought. And they looked at it and said, you know, I don't know. And yet we can read Ezekiel, we can read the book of Acts, and we can say, yeah, praise God. Isn't God marvelous? Isn't he wonderful? Look at his power. Look at how he loved people. Look how he spoke to people. Look at the miracles he did. Oh, look at this and look at that. And he touched them and he delivered them of demonic activity and he set them free and their life changed and they were healed. And we read all that and we go, wow. We've got no problem with Jesus walking up to a blind man, spitting in the dirt, making mud and putting it on his eyes. And I'm not suggesting that we have to do that. But you know what? If that was done today, You'd be going, yeah, okay, that's a little out there. That's a little too much. Give me a break. We want God to move and do things. But you and I need to understand and remind ourselves that he will never violate his word or his character. But the way that he shows up and does things by his spirit may be outside of this box we intended or unintentionally formed in our mind. If you are in this church or call this your home church, understand that this is a church that believes in the full gospel, the ministry of Christ, his crucifixion, his resurrection from the dead, that he conquered death and hell, that he lives, and he sent his Holy Spirit to be poured out and ascended unto the Father at the right hand, and his Spirit has been poured out upon people and upon the earth, and that this is not a faith of just knowledge. It's not a faith of just what's in our head. It's about the supernatural power of God to demonstrate and reveal himself that leads us outside of our finite thinking. If I can fit God in my mind, then I'm going to tell you something. God is not very big. He's not very big. Let me ask you something. Does it make sense for me to put my hand on a piece of paper that has two names on it? And just say, Lord, would you move by your spirit upon their life? I mean, explain that to me. But that's what I was doing for your two kids. I didn't forget. You told me that day in the lobby. Come into my office and I'd see that over there and put my hand on it and just say, Jesus. Now, how is me putting my name on their, or my hand on their names on a piece of paper? How's that going to do anything? Because we do that because we believe in the supernatural power of God to reach people. Is that so different than the Holy Spirit being outpoured upon somebody and they begin to speak in another language? They're baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, just like in the book of Acts in chapter 2. We read that and we think, that's different, that's weird. But when it shows up today, we go, yeah, I don't know. Some of us have a big enough box to say, yeah, we should pray for people, put your hand on their name, a piece of paper, yeah, go ahead. The Holy Spirit comes on you, you speak in their language, I don't know. You pray for a move of God, you pray for God to do things in your life, and you'd like him to do it without the supernatural. You'd like it to be a sign, but you don't want it to be a wonder. We believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we believe in the ministry of Jesus Christ because they are one and the same. And you and I had better start praying and believing and expecting God to move by his supernatural power because it's who he is. Please move greater and beyond anything that I can think or do in myself because I am so small in myself. So small. The limitations are just right there brushing me. It is not a big box when you look at, can I fit Randy in a box? Yeah, pretty much. I'll tell you something. Small box, small God. We pray for a move of God's Spirit. I know people who prayed for revival and they were tired of church just being routine. And you come in, you sing two choruses, one hymn, you hear a sermon, and then you get the, doxology at the end and go home. Oh, sorry, there was an offering in there. And then go home. And that's it. Week after week, no power, no refreshing, no rejuvenation, No ministry that looks like Jesus, just kind of a religious obligation service. And they prayed, oh God, move. Oh God, we're thirsty. Oh God, won't you visit us again? Oh God, do things like you did in the Bible. And then he shows up and he starts to do that stuff. And some of us go, I don't know. Then he does things that don't deny his character, but he does things and people's response to it are different than what we read, because it says that, you know, these pages could not record everything that Jesus did. People being prayed for and they drop to their knees and they just weep and they weep and they weep and they weep. We think, you know, that's just a little too emotional for me, and come on. You know, do that at home. Grow up. Obviously, you have no social graces. We're here in America. And the very thing we prayed for God to do, we sabotage by our response. There's places in Scripture where it talks about Jesus. He only did a few miracles among them because they did not believe. But the places where they believed, he did many great things. There is a correlation between faith and believing and trusting him and allowing him to be him. And he does more. Do we really want God to be poured out in our lives? Do we really want God to come and visit us on a Sunday morning in this place? Yes, I do, as long as I can sit right here and everybody else can do it and I'm just, you know, here. I'd like to see it all, but, you know, I don't want to have to go up front, or I don't want to have somebody lay a hand on me and pray for me, or... Bring a great, mighty move, revival, spiritual awakening, whatever label you want to put on it. Oh, God, just bring it so great and powerful, and you be you, and just make sure that, you know, there's no funny business. Well, what is that? God is not interested. Here's the thing. God is not interested in your box. It doesn't matter how big it is. He's not interested in living in a box anymore. He did that in the Old Testament. He's not interested in living in a box. I don't care how big your box is, how small. You say, well, I just got to make my box bigger. No. God is not interested in your box. The only box he lives by is his word. He will never go outside of his word, which reveals to us his character. We can sit and talk about the great outpourings of the past, and they are inspiring. And for being a fairly young guy, I am grateful for the opportunities and the places God has had me and the things I have experienced and seen and been a part of. But I still got to be coming to the altar today. Don't tell me about the stories of what God has done in the past if you're not living today in the day of pursuing God. Don't tell me about yesteryear and how great it was if you're not pursuing God today. You and I can have a concern for this younger generation. We can have a concern for the church. But you know what? If we just have our concern and say, oh, well, this and that, and it's not like the old and all this. You know what? If we're not the ones at the altar and leading the way, don't tell me about the past. Because the past must have not meant very much to you, because you're still not thirsting and hungering today. So maybe it was just events for you. God's going to show up probably different than you expect. And he might just show up different than what you have prayed for. He tends to do that, not with intention to confuse us, but in our prayers, we have hope and we have faith, but we do not always have the full revelation of what God is going to do. And he might show up and do it just a little different than what you expect. And if he does, we still have to be able to discern and understand that it's God. First Corinthians chapter 2. We can just start with verse 11, I guess. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths and spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. If you go back earlier in the chapter, verse 4, Paul talks to them and says, hey, listen, my message did not come to you with persuasive words and human wisdom and all these wonderful philosophies of the world and debating all these things that I could convince you. He said, no. The gospel I brought to you had to do with the demonstration and the power of God's Spirit, so that your faith would not rest on human wisdom, but rather your faith would rest on the power of God. He has chosen the weak things, the small things, to confound the wise. Does your Christianity move you beyond it's an option for a nice moral life? Does it move you beyond that to the place where there's an expectancy of his power to transform people, to do things by his Spirit that are not things that can be explained by the words of people? They can tell you what happened, but they can't tell you all how it happened and how God did it. They just tell you what happened and that God did it. Oh, that doesn't suffice for me. I've got to, figure it out. Hey, listen, I'm all for knowledge. I'm all for understanding. The Bible talks about it. But if your knowledge and understanding build a barrier against the supernatural power and demonstration of God, now we've got a problem. We're worried about what people think when God shows up. Don't you think God knows how to deal with people? He knows what's going on in their heart better than you or I do. I watched unchurched people come into a place where God's Spirit moved and did demonstrative things. And there were more Christian people who had a problem with it than the person who didn't know God. So, we need to cry out to God and God move and pray, God, would you please move by your Spirit? Lord, would you come? Come however you want. We just want you to come. And if he takes us outside of our routine, then praise the Lord. If it's led by him and what he wants to do, bless the Lord. We're going to follow his principles. We're going to believe in signs and wonders. Listen, I have watched people get their problems solved in a moment in his presence, deeply moved by his Spirit in them, that hours and hours of hours and hours and hours that I've spent in my office with people time, that we just couldn't solve. That a moment in his presence and by his spirit, it gets solved. Not that we shouldn't help one another, not that we shouldn't listen, not that God doesn't speak through people. Of course he does. And he brings counsel and words of wisdom and sometimes breaks up the ground for moments like that. But you and I have better start to remember who we're really serving and who we really call ourselves by as Christians. His ministry was a ministry of the Spirit. You can convince somebody. Let's say you can convince somebody by all of your biblical knowledge of why they should give their life to Christ. You can convince them. And they say, yeah, okay, that makes sense. And they say a prayer with you. Does it mean they're saved? It's about whether the Holy Spirit did a work within them. It wasn't just about the convincing, it's that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, worked within them. That they would really understand. That they would really know. You and I had better destroy our boxes and hang on to his word and hang on to the altar and keep in step with his spirit and start to begin to express faith and believe for the supernatural power of God, the ministry of Jesus Christ, to continue through time in and through our lives and among us. And he might just pour out differently than he has in the past. He might pour out differently than you have seen. You say, I don't know if I want all that because, you know, some people get kind of weird and people, you know what? It doesn't mean that when God pours out that everything that happens is from him. I know that. But you know what? He's pouring out and people are being touched. Yeah, but I don't want that flesh stuff and people getting crazy and doing, you know what? There's a whole lot of flesh stuff going on in this room right now. How come that stuff doesn't bother us? Stuff that works in our heart and in our attitudes. Stuff that hinders God and bothers God. Things that cause us not to believe. Let's believe God for great things. Not just among us, but in people around us and in this community. Let there truly be an outpouring of his spirit among us, or his spirit's already been outpoured. Maybe we need to start walking in it. Don't start arguing away why God hasn't done things in your life, or, well, you know, he just does that for some and not for others, and, well, you know, I'm full of the Holy Spirit, though I don't speak in tongues, and we go through all these things and get these arguments and develop these camps. Would you just believe his word and believe God, and let's pursue him?
Of heights to the depths of the sea.
Thank you for listening to The Lifecast. The Lifecast is a podcast of New Life Assembly of God located in Sparta, Wisconsin. You can log on to our website at www.spartanewlife.com. Thank you again for listening, and join us next time on The Lifecast. All it's